We want to worship you in all that you are.
Amen. Well, thank you, Praise Team. That was great. Good morning to you as well, Calvary Church, West Hills. Glad to be here. My wife and I and our kids and then some family here as well. We're glad to get to join you guys this morning. This is a treat for us to get to worship outdoors with you guys. The reason I say outdoors is because this is a little bit of a touch of home for us where we serve in Southeast Asia, because this is actually normal for us. The little church that we're a part of, that we worship with, usually meets outdoors, and so it's neat to get to be outdoors again and see our little daughters used to running around outside, usually under some fruit trees, so it's a little bit different running around in the grass, but it's still a treat to get to be here with you guys this morning. Today I'm going to be talking about the hope that we all have as believers in God's enduring peace from Psalm 3. Psalm 3 is the passage I'll be speaking from today, and the reason I hope that this is an encouraging passage for us this morning because of the situation that our world is in right now and that it has been this year. As all of us know, our world is still fighting this virus that continues to impact life and livelihood of so many. I know as a nation, we continue to face difficulty and obstacles. And for the place where we serve in Southeast Asia, we call it Pearl Island. I've changed the name for security purposes. Pearl Island has been impacted as well. The main source of revenue for the island is tourism, and tourism has all dried up because of borders closing. And so we're hoping at the new year tourism can open back up and people can start coming in and enjoying the island again so that things can be kick-started for our friends there on the island. But the reality is for most is that many people are struggling. Many people are struggling. And so for us, we have, as I said, this hope in God's enduring peace from Psalm 3. So for my family and I, we would have never thought we'd be here in the States, even into the fall in November. I know some of us here probably have a statement like that, maybe a statement similar. For example, I would have never thought maybe my business looks like it is, the situation that it looks like it's in right now. I would have never thought my kids would have had to study the way they've had to study and learn this year. There's so many situations that have impacted our lives that many of us probably have similar ideas to that, statements like that. And actually David, King David in this passage probably had a similar statement, because in this passage he's on the run from his son. He's fleeing for his life. And so he probably had a similar idea in his mind where he would have never thought he had to run for his life from his son. I couldn't imagine. And so go ahead and turn to Psalm 3 with me. If you have your Bible, I'll pray for us and then I'll read the passage so that we can together experience with King David this renewed hope in God's enduring peace. Because our God is good and he wants to be close to us. He wants to encourage us. So Psalm 3 is a passage I'll be reading from. I'll read it aloud. You can follow along, and I'll pray for us first. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time today to get to worship together, worship outdoors, worship you, Lord, the Most High God. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your closeness, as we were singing in that second song. Thank you for remaining faithful to us and being so close to us, Lord, even when we face obstacle and tragedy and distraction, Lord. We thank you for your closeness to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this is Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all the enemies on the cheek, all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. That's Psalm 3. So David wrote Psalm 3, like I said, on the run. He's fleeing for his life. His son Absalom brought about a successful coup to overthrow his kingdom. And so this passage is him writing on the run. This is a story of him on the run. The corresponding story is from the third psalm is in 2 Samuel 15. That's where you get all the details and the story itself. And David's running for his life. Now, this him running for his life does not sound like the prime example of one who has their hope in God's enduring peace, right? It sounds more like a stressful situation, an ever-changing situation. One where he's just trying to make it to the next hour in survival mode, just trying to make it to a place of refuge, right? Not necessarily a prime example of one, sitting in their hope in God's enduring peace. But what we do see is that it's what comes next, what comes in the later passages of how he turns around. But for us, for a renewed hope of God's enduring peace, we must acknowledge our active enemy. We have to first acknowledge our active enemy and then respond to the Lord. See, this enemy, the devil, he wants to keep us distracted. He wants to keep us isolated. He wants to keep us from our place of refuge, our God, right? He's very active. He knows how to tempt us. He knows how to isolate us. And I bring up our enemy because many of us, not all of us maybe, many of us will never face a 10,000-man hit squad looking for our destruction personally, right? But even worse is the aim of our enemy who works actively to keep those in his kingdom of darkness chained and blind, as well as at the same time he is actively working to keep those of us who are in the kingdom of light, those of us who are believers, from being active participants in God's kingdom advancement. It's twofold. The enemy's working to keep people blind and keep people distracted, keep people from those in the light from being active participants in God's kingdom advancement. Now, for me on the field, like Pastor Kendrick said, we serve on the field and serve an unreached people in Southeast Asia. For my first year on the field, me and my wife, we were studying language, and I often felt isolated, ill-equipped, and ineffective. And this was because I didn't speak the national language. I could hardly communicate with people. And so it was tough. It was grueling. There's one funny story that comes from it. I was in language school, and I was with my teacher and my wife. We were learning at the same time. And I asked my teacher if I could please stand up and go and fall into the toilet. So many language blunders. Many are funny. And I enjoy telling those stories. But at the same time, the enemy also used the tactic. It was a simple lie in telling me that I would always be ineffective, that I would always struggle communicating simple things like using the restroom, let alone the place where I wanted to get to, which was sharing gospel truths, sharing stories about Jesus, sharing good news from the Word directly. And so there was a small time of encouragement. And what the Lord did was brought me out of that by, first of all, diminishing that lie, helping me grow in my confidence in language, but also he showed me that he was active in drawing people to himself around us as we were learning language. One example is our language teacher, who we first started learning language with. She was a Muslim, and we were learning language with her, and my wife had the opportunity in one of our language classes to share about God's healing power, about Jesus, one of Jesus' stories of healing somebody. He had the power to heal. Our language teacher had never heard that before. She had heard of Jesus. She had heard of Jesus, a prophet. It's a different belief in the Muslim in Islam, but she learned that she never had learned that Jesus could heal. And so, weeks later, we found out. She one night was very ill. She thought she was going to die, and she prayed to Jesus for the first time in her life. She prayed to Jesus and said, "Jesus, if you're real, if you really can heal me, please heal me, please." And she cried out to Jesus. Sure enough, the next morning, she was completely healed. She didn't have any hope of being healed. She didn't have any hope of feeling better. She thought she was going to die. And pretty soon after that, she came to faith in Jesus. She turned from Islam and exalted Jesus as her only Savior and as her Messiah. She confessed that, and she later told us that in class. And the reason I share that story is because this was pretty early on in our language study, and so what we learned was that the Lord is always active in drawing people to himself, even if we have a small season of learning and inequity, even if we have a short season of discouragement, the Lord is always active in drawing people to himself. And it was the Lord who was constantly growing in us and putting our focus back on him. It was the Lord who showed us how he was advancing his kingdom. Now, back in Psalm 3, in verse 2, back where David's on the run, David turns in verse 2 and says to the Lord, "Many say of my soul, there is no salvation for him in his from his God." Basically, what he's saying is that people are looking on his situation. He's sharing with the Lord. People around me are seeing my situation, and they're saying, "I have no hope of surviving this time. I have no hope." And David, instead of putting his focus on God, he's adding another burden to his shoulders, onto his real life situation of fleeing for his life. He's adding the burden of what others think of his situation. I have a story from the field. My friend Mike, I've changed his name for security reasons. Mike is a national teammate. He's a national believer, and he's a church planner. This national teammate, Mike, was on fire sharing about Jesus, baptizing new believers, grouping those new believers together into a small indigenous church on Pearl Island where we serve. And there was one time when he faced opposition. And Mike was sharing with a new believer, discipling a new believer, and he challenged this new believer, "You should share your faith of Jesus, your new faith in Jesus with your son. You should share with others around you." And so this man did it. He was obedient and shared his faith in Jesus with his son. And unfortunately, his son was not welcoming to the news. He didn't like hearing that his dad had turned from Islam. He didn't like hearing that his dad was now a follower of Jesus. And so he vowed to attack my friend Mike. And the opportunity arose. He attacked Mike when he was coming over to disciple his dad, and jumped Mike. And Mike was able to run, flee the scene, hop back on his motorcycle and flee the scene. But what happened next was that Mike could have easily stepped back from that situation, walked away from discipling this new believer, and said, "They say in that neighborhood that I should not be there. The people in this young son says that I'm not welcome to ever see his dad again." He could have walked away from that situation and left that new believer alone. But Mike didn't. Mike was faithful to what God had called him to. Mike is a good example in this situation of one who used creative means to get to meet with this guy again. He had to meet at night, meet in different locations. But he didn't let what they say about this situation deter Mike from continuing to disciple this elderly gentleman, this new believer. And so I look to Mike in this situation because this is a prime example, one who's not deterred from the enemy, not deterred from real human opposition, because that's a reality in our lives as well. He didn't allow himself to be deterred from being an active role, an active participant in God's kingdom advancement. Mike continues to work to this day. He's on another team, and he's continuing to persevere in the Lord's strength. And so he's, like I said, I bring him up in comparison to verse 2 because he's a good example of one who rose above what could have deterred him, what could have turned him away from continuing on the work. Now, back to the psalm, David responds to his situation in verse 3. There's a little change of heart here, and it starts small, but what he says is, with all the might that he has left, David turns and says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You're the glory, the lifter of my head." Now, David, this is all he had left. In desperation, all he had left was to turn to the Lord. David was a warrior at this point. He's well-versed in battle. He knows his way around a shield. He knows his way around a battlefield. And it's interesting that he uses this picture image of one who is his shield around him because he's so experienced in war. And he says, "You, God, are this shield around me. You're the only hope that I have of protection. You are the shield from my enemy. So let me pause for a second and ask us, ask myself even, is your shield up? Has your guard been down when you faced obstacles, opposition recently? Has the enemy kept you discouraged? Has the enemy kept you deterred from being an active participant in God's kingdom advancement? Because God's kingdom continues to advance. I encourage you today, look to the Lord. Ask Him. Seek Him in these questions as well. In 2018, an example for us, we were away from our place of ministry for the birth of our first child, the two-year-old with the pigtails. We were away from our island when for her birth, and we heard news of four devastating earthquakes, four of them being above 7.0 in magnitude, massive earthquakes. They shook the island, devastated many. The result of it was that 250 people died on the island. 150,000 people were displaced, and we were displaced as well. We weren't able to go back to our home. It was damaged. We had to live on a neighboring island so that I could take a boat in and help with relief efforts, help our friends, the people we had relationships with, just help in simple ways. A lot of times we were just clearing debris so that they could build a temporary bamboo house that would get them off the ground during the rainy season. Now, for this verse in particular, where David looks to the Lord and says, looks up and says, "You, God, are a shield around me," this strikes a chord for me because this was a similar prayer that I had many, many times during those months in the summers of 2018, because I had no control. I never knew when the ground was going to shake. There were still roofs crashing down. There were landslides. It was still a scary situation, and all I had many times for my own protection was to just stop and turn to the Lord and say, "God, you are a shield around me." In fact, as David says, you are the best chance I have of survival. You're the only chance. You're the best chance I have of survival. And the same was a prayer for my daughter and wife. They were on another island. We had a 6-week-old daughter, infant daughter, and for them, the best hope we had was God's protection. And that was a good hope. That was a reliable source that we continued to turn to. And the Lord continued to bring my focus to Him, reminding me that He is a shield for us. During that same time, in the same timeline, there was a young man named Andy. He was 16 or 17 years old when the earthquakes hit in 2018. A young man, he was, when the biggest earthquake hit, it was a 7.2 magnitude earthquake hit the island. He rushed home. Everybody runs home after these big earthquakes. Everybody flees from their house, and usually people run home. They drop whatever they're doing, and if they can run home to check on family, they do, and that's what Andy was doing. He hopped on his motorbike. He went as fast as he could, 30 minutes north on his motorbike, and while he was driving, he was swept off the road by a boulder and a landslide, took him off his bike, and he had two severely broken legs. I don't know how he made it to the little jungle clinic near his family, near his house, but he did. He made it to the jungle clinic where there was a temporary surgeon on site helping with the most immediate surgical needs from the previous earthquakes. And Andy was rushed to this surgeon, and the surgeon told Andy and his mom, who had met him there, the best option for Andy is to remove both of his legs. We have to amputate both legs. The surgeon promised he would never walk again. The surgeon said that there could be more health issues that come from these breaks, and the best thing for Andy is to amputate. A 17-year-old kid with two amputated legs. Now, the mom refused. Andy's mom refused, picked him up, and they went home. And they had no hope. They were desperate. Andy had two severely broken legs still. I think they turned to local medicine, which basically in our area is just massages. They went to massage his legs out, and I don't know how much that helped. But our team actually got to come in contact with Andy. We were helping some friends, neighbors of his, who live close by to Andy. We heard of his story, and we got to go meet him. We actually prayed for his healing. We prayed for miraculous healing. We shared the good news with him. We shared the gospel of Jesus, and we shared a few stories of Jesus' healing power. We shared some of these healing stories with him, and we'll set his story down there and pick it back up later. Back to Psalm 3, Now, as David is overwhelmed with this anguish, this real on-the-run, surviving, fleeing for his life situation, what next comes from the Lord? Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. This turn of heart, it comes from the Lord. See, in verse 3 and in verse 4, God reminds David of his faithfulness throughout his life. And I want to turn it back to us. God also wants to remind us of the faithfulness. I thought it was such a neat part in the song, in the second song that we were singing, of just of God's closeness. It's such an applicable song to this passage. God's reminds us of his faithfulness. And he did that to David. He did that today in the song, and he's doing it through Psalm 3 as well. He wants to answer us from his holy hill. That's from verse 4. The Lord wants to sustain us as we continue from day to day, from verse 5. God wants us to seek his enduring peace. He wants to encourage us during difficult times. He wants us to draw close to him because he's close to us. His hand is always open, open freely for us to receive that encouragement from him. The Lord wants to restore relationships to harmony, unity amidst disruption. And he wants to provide for us. He wants to provide for our physical needs. We see in the Bible where God talks about the needs of his people. The Lord wants to take care of us. Now, for those of you today who may not have experienced an eternal peace in God before, I have some good news for you today as well. God knows and loves each one of us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to earth. Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law, and what he did was he went to the cross for us. See, in our lives, we live with sin, and there's nothing we can do to get rid of this sin ourselves. There's not enough good acts we can do to counteract the bad things that are in our hearts that we do in our lives. But Jesus went to the cross after living a perfect life. He went to the cross for us and took our sins for us. See, Jesus dying on the cross made a way for us to be in heaven with the Father forever. Him dying on the cross, dying a real death, going through a real burial and resurrection, like I said, opened the door for us to be with the Father in eternity. That's good news. Peace and salvation comes from Jesus, and it's this good news that establishes believers as we continue on and continue on in the hope that we have in God. So, in verse 5, we see that David's hope is restored. We see this turn of heart fully in action, that David has turned to the Lord. He's acknowledged his shield. He's looked to the Lord who's continued to prove his faithfulness in his life. And although David's situation has not changed in any way, his fear is replaced with hope. His despair is replaced with strength. The Lord has drawn near to him, and David is restored again. In David's life, he's lived this pattern of despair transformed into hope many times. Many of us have heard of the story of David defeating the lion and the bear as a young shepherd. One of my favorite stories, even growing up as a kid, was David defeating Goliath in Gath. That's from 1 Samuel 17. The Lord was always faithful to be with David in these victories. Now, in 2 Samuel 8, there's also some examples of victories in battle that David experienced because of the Lord. 2 Samuel 8 lists victory over the Philistines, the Moabites, the kingdom of Zobah, Aramean kingdom of Damascus, the Edomites. These are armies of hundreds of thousands of soldiers. And it says in this passage, it doesn't just list victory and exalt David's name. What the passage says in verse 6 is that everywhere David went, the Lord helped him win battles. It says later in that same chapter, in verse 14, it says, wherever David went, the Lord helped him. The Lord was faithful. It was the Lord who proved his closeness to David. Back to Psalm 3, in verse 5, God restored David's hope in him. It was God who turned David's eyes back to him. Now, for my wife and I, looking back, even now, we look back on our times in 2018 of those devastating earthquakes, and when we finally were able to make it back to the island, we still had a few quakes in the 5.0 range, and the difference of there on the island, when you feel a 5.3 earthquake, it rattles your whole house for a few seconds. Your windows will rattle, the glass, you can hear your roof shaking. In California, our houses are built a lot stronger, and so you might feel it. And by the time you recognize that it's an earthquake, it's already passed, whereas in our island, Pearl Island in Southeast Asia, you feel it for a few seconds. And a lot of times, even those 5.0s are scary enough to make you get up out of your seat and run out of the house with the kids. But for my wife and I, we look back on those times and saw countless times where the Lord drew near to us and provided us with his peace. The Lord always, always supplied us his peace, confidence in him. For our friend Andy, picking back up his story, the young man with the two broken legs, he avoided surgery and he'd heard the good news. Our team shared the good news, the gospel of Jesus, with him. We prayed for a miraculous healing, and actually within a few months, the Lord began to heal Andy. He went from a place of being completely immobile. He couldn't walk alone. People would have to carry him on each shoulder if he wanted to move from place to place or go sit on the beach. He moved from a place of being immobile to, after a few weeks of seeing him, he had a crutch and he was hobbling around on a crutch. And then after a few months, he was fully restored. He was fully healed. And it was the Lord who completely healed his legs as we continued praying for him. And it wasn't just physical healing. See, Andy, as we were sharing the good news with him and sharing these gospel stories with him, Andy's desire for the word and for Jesus grew as the Lord was healing him. He knew it was the Lord who was healing him. And later, when he was healed, Andy came to faith in Jesus and led his parents to faith in Jesus as well. It's an exciting story to hear of Andy's faithfulness. And it didn't just stop there. Our friends who we were ministering to, sharing the good news with, and helping with some physical needs during the aftermath of the quakes, that family also came to faith. So that elderly couple came to faith in Jesus, and with Andy's family, they're now the beginning of a small church on this beautiful beach in Pearl Island who have a faith family. They have that enduring peace that they can turn and look to in trials. I know even in 2020, as they face new trials, new difficulty, they now have this different situation, this faith family that they can look to. They have a true God, a solid rock, one that they can turn to in this time of difficulty as well. So you may ask, coming from looking at Psalm 3, looking at desperation, turn to hope, looking at enduring peace, you may have the question, what role can I play in advancing, in what role can I play in God's kingdom advancement? Now, when it comes to spreading the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth, there are three roles you can play. Some of those are to go, to send, and to give. So I like to ask the question, is God calling you to go? Some of us are called to be obedient, to stand up and go. And let me reiterate, these are equal roles. No, the goer is not greater than the other three. I've heard of your church's faithfulness to send. You guys have been a part of sending and connecting with a family who's overseas now. I love that. I love hearing that story of that faithfulness. Let me challenge you to continue to connect with them. Continue to pray for them and pray for their strength in the Lord as they serve on the field. Continue to pray for those around them who they interact with. Pray for the Lord to put people in their path that are seeking the Lord, seeking truth. And then to give as well, the organization that my wife and I are sent out by has an annual offering. It's called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. You can participate by giving to that offering. What that does is goes to field workers who are already on the field. You can help by giving to that fund, and that helps keep people on the field as well as send new people out who are called to go, because our sending organization continues to send. And so those are three ways you can go. You can send, you can continue to send as you guys have been a part of, and you can give. And so those are three of the roles. Those aren't all of the jobs that are involved. I know we have Pastor Kendrick here, Pastor Tim. There are many jobs that are involved with advancing the kingdom. And so I'll finish with this. I'd like to say, as the difficulty and the enemy try to distract us, let me challenge us all today, including myself, continue in being active participants in God's kingdom advancement. in sharing Jesus with those around you, people that you connect with on a normal basis. Continue in discipling those God has entrusted to you, who the believers around you, who you have seen come to the Lord. And continue with a hope in God's enduring peace. Go with the Lord, because it's always offered to us. The Lord is near us in individual difficulty and in globally impacting pandemics, but we, as a faith family, we have confidence in God's enduring peace. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Restore our faith in you, Lord. Remind us, flood us of the many memories of your faithfulness in our lives, Lord. Remind us of your provision, of your, even our testimonies, our situations, when our lives turned and looked to you, Jesus, when we heard of you for the first time and we gave our lives to you and our life never looked the same because of how you changed us, Lord. Remind us of your goodness. Lord, also for our physical needs, please provide for those of us who have lost jobs, who have health difficulty in this time. You know each one of us so well and you see our needs, Lord. We're not alone because you are close. You are able, God, and we ask that you would be willing to help us. Help us to turn to you for our peace and endurance. Help us to live confidently in your enduring peace, not just for ourselves, but so that we can be active as you advance your kingdom in West Hills, in Southeast Asia, across your world, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mitch. Thanks for being a part of our service and sharing your word and what God is doing in your part of the world. We're so grateful to be a part of you and to be a part of your mission. And church, as Mitch talked about, we have the opportunity that we've partnered with him, and the Lottie Moon offering is something that we give to, not just at Christmas, but we give every month. We write a check to Lottie Moon and the work that they are doing. And this is also one of the ministries that we've talked about, end-of-year giving. This is one of the ministries, families like Mitch's and some other families, that we are going to give an additional gift to with our end-of-year giving, something we're going to set aside to continue God's word being proclaimed literally to the ends of the world, the Pearl Island, just a little island out there of people who need to know Jesus and people whose lives are being transformed by Jesus, as Mitch and Mike and others, so many others that you guys have met that are making disciples in their community church, and we get to be a part of it. And we are so grateful for those that answer the call. We are so grateful that God gives us the opportunity to partner with and pray for and send missionaries so that one day we will sit and sing holy, holy, holy together with 175 different languages and then some. And we will just be worshiping God together. So church, we are grateful to have families like Mitch's that go. We are grateful to be a part of this partnership of making Jesus' name known throughout the world. Church, we love you. Look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great week, church. Bye.